seated briefly. Amen. I want to thank God for this great opportunity. I don't take it lightly. Pastor Carl, I appreciate this time given to me to just share with the people of God. Once again, I said I appreciate. Amen. I have my few friends here in the house. The one that is on the keyboard is a bosom friend. She is missionary Sandy Gray, an Australian. Also have a friend. I call her Mama Lydia. Mama Lydia is from South Korea. She's also a missionary. Amen. I have Mama Cynthia. Okay. Mama Cynthia fell in love with this church the first day she came in here. She keep asking me, what are they having? When did they say the other thing is I want to cook something, I want to do something? You know? Last Sunday she passed over, is that right? Brought some things. Oh, bless you, Mama, bless you. Amen. Have my friends from Ethiopia as well. This is Papa, I call him Papa Gideon. I used to call him. This is Gideon, this is Sammy. You know? And I have the extension of my mother. God, it will interest you to know that they are giving me a house in South Sudan. You know? So Mama Hawa is here with a team. Okay, I have Pastor Anthony. God bless you, man of God. All from South Sudan. Where is Awol? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God because our God is good. You know he is good. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, you are good. Amen. Look at the person sitting by your side. Tell him, I'm happy that you are the one sitting close to me. Because after today, you are becoming a different person. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, let's read Malachi chapter 4. I want to give us a prayer point. And then we pray and then go into some other scriptures. Malachi chapter 4. Okay. Are you in Malachi chapter 4? Okay, let me get it. Okay, I just want us to pray. Give us a prayer point. The Lord led in my spirit. Verse 5 and verse 6. The last two verses of Malachi chapter number 4. Behold, I have King James Version or New King James Version. I don't know. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I will send Elijah the prophet in the last days. I will send men and the women that will have the spirit of Elijah, that will operate on the anointing and the grace of Elijah. And they will have this assignment. They will turn the hearts of fathers to their children. They will reconcile generation, this generation to another generation. they will turn the heart of the children to their fathers, the heart of the daughters to their mother. They will bridge a generational gap. This is what the people that will be possessed by the spirit of Elijah will do. They will be men and the women that will bring the old into the new and the new into the old. There will be men that will turn the heart of the fathers to their children and bring back the children to their father. And there will be men and the women that will bring the younger generation to their heavenly father. This will be what the men will do. Here comes the prayer point. Oh Lord, release the spirit of Elijah unto me. I know you know the very first day I entered this, house of God, and I had the servant of God, I told myself the truth. This is a place to be. I'm not saying it because of anything. I'm just saying it because heaven bears me witness. That first day I had, it was exactly 1 month, the first day of June, and the servant of God was talking about the second coming. I do say to myself, this is where I ought to be in this time. Listen to me. This is a follow-up of what I had that day. Whatever you're going to hear me share today and Sunday by the grace of God is a follow-up of what I have had. In the last days, God will send men with the passion and with the spirit of Elijah. Men that will not be self, will not be consumed by self, but men that will bring the lost generation to saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My Father, release your spirit to me. You promise it. You are one that promised and you are one that fulfilled the promise. Let this spirit of God be upon my life. Let it come unto me. Let it come upon me in the name of Jesus. The spirit of Elijah, the spirit that will reconcile fathers to their children and children to their fathers. My Father, my God, release it to me. Open your mouth and pray it as if you desire it. The spirit of Elijah. The Lord said if he did not come, he will come down and smite the earth. Release it to me, Lord. Where are the fathers and mothers that will reach out to the younger generation? Where are they? Where are the fathers and mothers that will reach out to the younger generation? Oh Lord, I receive divine ability to be a true father and a true mother. A mother and a father from your perspective. I receive divine ability to be a true father and a true mother. A father and a mother that will reach out to the younger generation with passion. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings. Second Kings. Second Kings chapter 20. I'm going to be reading from verse 12 through. It's going to be a little lengthy read, but. Second Kings chapter 20. Can I have someone help me read? Read from verse 12. We're going to read verse 12 through verse 19. Don't rush, darling. Just, I love it, you know. Second Kings 20 from verse 12.
At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and shewed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah shewed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said this man? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house, and which thy father have laid in the stores unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, said the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt begat, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of
God bless you. That's 19. Father, we want to approach your word and share it to God according to that which you have in mind for us even this day. Breathe upon this word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk on what are you showing to the younger generation? You know, can you talk to the person by your side? What are you showing, you know, to the younger generation? What are you showing them? What are you? Ask him as if you mean it, as if God sent you to ask him. To ask her. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will not go into the detail about the history of Hezekiah. I have a little one of them, but I think it is important we just take it from here because of time. Hezekiah was the king of Judah. Judah was the small tribe when the kingdom of Israel were divided. You discover that Judah, you know, become a smaller nation, and but a smaller nation that have the strength of the Lord, that have God as you know, his shield and his and his, you know, defense. And as a result of that, Judah had a lot of challenges and a lot of problems and a lot of enemies. And when Hezekiah took the rulership of the kingdom of Judah, there were so many attacks and so many enemies. Not only just against Hezekiah as a king, but against the nation at large. You know, I had this understanding that Hezekiah was one of the kings that enjoyed the strength of the Lord so much. He enjoyed the strength of the Lord so much. Hezekiah had an attack of the enemies of Judah, but in each attack, the Lord delivered him. Did you hear that? The Assyrians marshaled out their military strength, very strong military strength, against Judah. But the Lord delivered Hezekiah and Judah from the hands of the Assyrian. I say the Lord did what? The Lord delivered him. The Lord was his strength. The Lord strengthened Judah. Hezekiah had a lot of armies and a lot of enemies that surround Judah. But in each of the attack of the enemy, God will always see him through. I don't know how many people are in this house. Maybe from January, let's not just go far, from January to June, to the end of June, you have had attacks of the enemy. You have had the enemy come against you. Maybe in your place of job, or maybe, you know, in one way or the other, in your marriage, in your children. And but for the fact that you are here, it's a sure sign that the Lord delivered you. I didn't hear a big amen. The Lord delivered you and set you free, irrespective of the plans of the enemy. I don't know how many of us had the foundation of our salvation shaken by events and affairs. The very foundation of your salvation, onslaught of hell came against your family. You know, but God came out and came through for you and did not allow what happened to other marriages happen to you. Not because you are smart, not because you know how to do it, but just because our God is a good God and the Lord saw you through. He intervened on your behalf. I want you to understand that Hezekiah might not just the physical enemies of wars. Hezekiah became sick again. It was an attack of the enemy. And the sickness was unto death. Hezekiah was so sick that everybody that knew him counted him out. They were only just waiting for a day. They were here that the king has died. Including other nations. They heard about the sickness. And the sickness was not just an ordinary sickness. It was sickness that was, the intention was just to kill him. God himself knew that Hezekiah would not survive from this one. Almighty God sent his servant, prophet Isaiah. Go and let him know. Put your house in order because you are done. You have tried. Come back home. The prophet of God went to Hezekiah and told him what the Lord said. Hezekiah, in his weakness, reapproached God and pleaded with him and showed him reasons why he should extend his days, irrespective of his ill health, irrespective of his condition. The Bible says, and the Lord had him. Before Isaiah got to his house, another message came from the Lord. Go back and tell him that I have heard his prayer. In 3 days' time, he will get back to his office. And I am adding 15 more years to him.
Isaiah went and delivered the message. And Hezekiah glorified the Lord. How will you do if you are the one that have seen this level of grace from the Lord? This level of grace from the Lord. Hezekiah became well. 3 days later, he was in his office. Nations around heard about this great gesture the Lord has done to him. In particular, the king of Babylon sent messengers, go to this king of Judah and greet him and present even presents because he has recovered. We heard that he has recovered from his ill health. Go and greet him. And the Bible said, I call them the younger generation. They came to Hezekiah. We heard that you were sick unto death. We are thinking about your burial. All of a sudden, you are back to health and you are doing well. What happened? Tell somebody by your side, what happened? We heard that you were there. You were almost dead. You were a living corpse. But right now you are doing well. Can you tell us what happened? What is it that happened? Now this is the message. This is the message. Hezekiah, who has seen battles and has seen deliverance from the Lord, who has seen stronger nations gather against Judah and gather against him, and God delivered him. Who has seen God show the enemy that he is the God of Israel. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That same God delivered Hezekiah. Hezekiah knew it. He had opportunity to give God the praise. But he did the opposite. What is it that happened to you? Hezekiah, tell us. We have come to hear your testimony. Can you tell us? Can you show us what happened to you? Who is he that intervened on your behalf? Hezekiah did something that I want you to learn from today. Let's look at the Bible quickly. I'm rounding up. Hezekiah hearkened unto them. And what did he do? He showed them all the houses of his precious things. Eligwe. He showed them what? He showed them houses. He showed them gold, silver, spices, precious ointment. He showed them armor, showed them treasures, showed them material things. The man that had the opportunity to put his God in display, to tell the world that it is God that bring me this far, that I wouldn't have been here today if it is not by the strength of the Lord. He did the opposite. He showed them material things. Why are you showing them houses? You're showing them houses because in their generation, in their time, they are going to have more beautiful houses than you are having. They don't need your houses. You are showing them silver and gold. They don't need your silver and gold. Your generation is, this other generation is going cashless. They don't even need money for to be people. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. They don't need the silver and gold you are showing them. If they can only be in the system, they will buy whatever they want to buy. He showed them precious things, material things. What an error. What a blow on the face of heaven. That was an opportunity to share his faith. To tell the world, to tell the young people that came to him, that this hand that is carrying Bible today once carried pistols in the streets of Kaduna. What an opportunity to share that testimony. That a one-time violent criminal is now a child of God and preaches the gospel and travel nations. What an opportunity to share that. But Hezekiah did not do that. He became a display of material things. Things that does not have eternal value. Does not connect, that cannot connect God. That cannot bring God. Heaven spoke out immediately. God will not only keep silent. He will not keep quiet. When you move him, he move. When you touch him, he move. God will not keep quiet. He send us there. Go quickly and tell him I'm disappointed in him. Ezekiah, I'm disappointed. Who are these people that came? Where did they come from? What did you show them? Ezekiah, listen. Everything you showed these people shall be, you shall lose them. I don't know how to say this, Pastor Carr. Whatever you use, how do I say, Holy Spirit, help me. Whatever you replaces God with, you will lose it. Help me, Lord. Whatever you replaces God with. I see some people say, well, I don't have time for God. It's because of my job. It's because of my work. What are you talking about? Whatever you replaces God with, you will lose it. You will lose it. Not until a corn of wheat fall on the ground and died, it abided alone. Abided alone. Hezekiah, everything you showed them, you are losing them. Every one of them. And you will lose more than you showed them. Hezekiah, these people are going to take your sons, your younger generation. They are taking them captives. And they are going to make them eunuchs. Eunuchs are young men that are castrated. Their reproductive ability removed. They can no longer be a seed. They can no longer be God children. Listen to me, somebody. Listen to me, somebody. You better take everything you want to take away from me. But leave my children for me. Let them have what their children. The reason why I have 8 children is because we are looking for a boy, me and my wife. Typical Igbo man. We had the first one, a girl. We had the second one, a girl. We had the third one, a girl. We had the fourth one, a girl. We have the fifth one, twins, 2 girls. My wife said, whether the devil like it or not, we will have a boy. How can an Igbo man have his name lost? His name, he will not be remembered. My wife said, no, to fear, Kwazibakwa, it will not happen. We keep going on until the 7th one become a boy. we went again. We did the 8th one. My wife said, no, this boy must have a brother. We went the 8th one. We have another girl. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hand and say, Jesus, your Lord. We are about to pray. Listen to me. Hezekiah said, listen to me. God said your children, your sons will be taken captive to Babylon. They will become captives. And they become eunuchs. Their ability to bear seeds will be taken away. The worst thing that can happen to a man is to castrate your children. Instead of castrating them, they should be circumcised. Listen to me. Modern castration is when you leave the children to live the way they want to live. That is a modern age castration. to lift them to grow the way they want to grow. They can eat all the hamburgers. They can eat all the pizzas. But let them just allow them to just do what they want to do. That is modern day castration. Somebody, are you hearing me? That is today's castration. I was talking with a pastor friend, and that happens to be a redeemed pastor in Texas. And we are just sharing something. The man of God said something that touched me. He said, these children are Americans. You know, you can't be hard on them. They are Americans. I say, lie, Papa, I'm sorry. They are not Americans. I can never have a child that's an American. It's not because I born my own in Nigeria, even if they are born in Aso Rock, I mean in White House. They are not Americans. They are first of all kingdomites. They are belonging to God. They are children of God. Any other thing, any other nationality can come. Number one, they are children of God. You must treat them as children of God. If you allow them and say they are Americans, you will lose them. America is not heaven. First of all, they are children of God. They shall be treated as kingdomites. Jesus did not die in the cross of Calvary for nothing. Jesus' death in the cross of Calvary is to give us a new kingdom. And I want to tell you, that kingdom cannot be defeated. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you are seeing. I want to tell you, the kingdom of God cannot be defeated. Somebody say amen. It cannot be defeated. They are first of all children of God. If they want, they can be the next one can be a Jegule or wheresoever. It doesn't matter. If they are children of God, they are defended. The Bible says, woe unto him that go down to Egypt for help. Because the Egyptians are men, they are not God. And their horses are flesh, they are not spirit. They will be castrated. Don't allow them to be castrated. Instead of that, circumcise them. Circumcise them. Put knife on their body. Remove things that need to be removed. Do that thing that heaven has. Oh my God. God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and say, I know him. He will command his children. He will command his children. The servant of God said it the first day I came here. He quoted that scripture. He will command his children. When I hear a man talk about the younger generation with the passion that this guy talk about them, it gladdens my countenance. Because if we lose the next generation, we have not done anything at all. Can I hear somebody say amen? Say it as if you mean it. Say amen. The word of God came. God asked Hezekiah, send Isaiah. Go and ask him, what did he show to these people? Listen, you didn't show them God that healed you when you were about to die. You didn't show them God that delivered you from King Sennacherib of Assyria. You didn't show them God that gave you salvation. You didn't show them God that delivered you when your marriage was about to break. You didn't show them God that rescued you from hell. You did not show them that. You were showing them material things. Hezekiah, you are done. You have lost it all. Today, the very first day of the month of July, the Lord is bringing you back. Listen to me. You see, the younger people that are here, everywhere you see them in church, see them at work, see them on the streets, see them in the mall, anywhere you see them, they are looking for something. Are you hearing me? They are looking for something. There is something that they need. They need most. There's a passion, a driving something in them. I want to tell you, What this younger generation is looking for is not material things. You might think because the way they eat, the way they look, the way they approach life, you might think they are looking for material things. No, they are not looking. There is something that they are saying hunger in them. They are saying desire in them. There is something that is moving them. There is something they are looking for. I want to tell you just, maybe we'll continue on Sunday. One of the things they are looking for is the love of God. Say they are looking for what? Looking for fathers and mothers that will show them the love of God. That will take them to the love of God. The love of God. If there is something that they are yearning for, they are crying for, they desire so much, that thing is the love of God. That same thing that brings, I don't know about you, but if there is anything that can be talked about, this person that is standing before you, it is never strength, it is the love of God. It is the love of God. That is what they need. That is what they are looking for. That is the vacuum in them. That is the yearnings and the hunger of their heart. It is the true love of God. Can I tell you something? Education is not the problem of the younger generation. It's not education. It's not to cause them to read and become medical doctors. That is good in themselves. But I want to tell you, more than any other thing is the love of God. That's what they need. That's what they are looking for. That's what the fathers and the mothers, that is what we should do. We should create an environment for. Can I tell you something? It is not even religion they are looking for. It's not religious practices they are looking for. They are looking for the true love of God. The true love of God. That's what they want. Jesus was asked this question. Learned men of his days gathered around him and said, tell us, which one is the greatest commandment? Which one is the one that is, if you do it, you have covered all? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You shall love the Lord. These children are looking for one that will point them to the love of God. Will you be one? Will you be the mother that will spend your time? Or are you too busy? You are too busy to be sincere to God, to approach God with passion. Are you too busy to display the love of God to these children? What they are looking for is not the scorning, it's not the beating, it's not the abuse. I have tried them. But what they are looking for is sincere love of God. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. They are looking for a God who is not a tax master. A God that have his hands open. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? Do you remember? Jesus said the man have two sons. And the younger one took from his father and went to a far country and spoiled his goods. And wasted his life and spoiled himself and smoked Indian him and became a prostitute and became an armed robber and tried everything. But when he came back, as he was coming back, he discovered that his father is more loving than he can understand. The father have his arms open, saw him from far, ran to him, embraced him, not minding his dirtiness. The father embraced him. I don't know if we have fathers in this. We have fathers in this house. You know? But are we fathers like... Are we fathers like... the Father in heaven? Who does not look at you at the multitude of your offense? How many of you know that the bridge between man and God is not sin? It's not sin. What the Bible say in Isaiah chapter 1? Say, it doesn't matter how your sin is, I just want you to come. Come, let us reason together. Come, let me and you talk it over. It's not sin. gives all children an opportunity to come to God, to come to a loving God. God that is looking for them more than you can look for them. God that need them to bridge the gap. No, God that has destined them unto glory. Can you give them opportunity to come to this God, this loving God? Can you remove your religious bridges, religious obstacles? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Even the ones you don't keep, you put it upon the children. Can you remove all those things and allow the children to come to God? To come to a sincere, desirous God. That's what they need. They need the true testimony of your salvation. They need the true strength of the beauty of the Lord over your life. They need it. They need the history of deliverance that God has given to you. They want to hear it. This God that brought you this far, they want to be connected to it. What are you showing to the younger generation? As you come to the Lord's table today, what is it that you are showing to the generations around you?